On Sunday mornings, we've been taking a look at our service unto our Lord, the service of our Lord God Almighty, and we've taken a look at different aspects of that and how it is that service is connected to and somewhat interwoven with worship, but then we want to focus upon the distinctiveness of worship and service. And then as we look at service, we ask this question: what are we his servants to do? We are his servants. That's been proven from the scriptures. Last time we took a look in Romans chapter 12, about aspects and facets of service, things that we are to pursue and things that we are to do and look toward. We don't want to leave the book of Romans without touching on Romans chapter 14. And as I mentioned last time in Romans chapter 1, in verse number 1, the apostle starts this book off saying that his name, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And so we have things in this book that tell us about our servitude unto the Lord. And as his children, we are to worship him as we are today. And some of this is service. But then we've got all those other days of the week, which are mostly rolled up in and explained as our service, our works from being saved. Because salvation will bring works, won't it? It will bring works. And the scripture is very plain about that, and we've seen that. Here in Romans chapter 14, I think we have a subtitle, if you will, an understanding in this chapter, and the things that we want to take and understand from this morning relative to our service. What are we his servants to do? It talks about and speaks mostly about our focus. Our focus. You know, our focus can get off, can't it? If our focus is upon the Lord Jesus, we've got our focus right, and it will help us in every way. It'll help us personally. It will help us in our families, in our homes. It'll help us in our church. It will help us amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ. It will help us in the mission that we have into a lost and dying world in this church. But what happens if our focus gets off? It affects everything, doesn't it? It affects us personally. It affects us in our home, in our relationships in our home, in our marriage, and to our children. If our focus gets off, it'll affect us in our church more. It'll affect us in our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It affects us in our relationship and our commission and our responsibility towards a lost and dying world. If our focus gets off, then we can't control what it will affect. If our focus gets off, it's going to affect us in every aspect of our lives, our spiritual lives, our physical lives. And so we have a calling here in this chapter to have our focus right. And we've touched on this in recent times, so the particulars of this chapter are not the goal, but this relative to servitude, our service unto our Lord, is what we want to get from this chapter here this morning. In Romans chapter 14, verse number 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Now understand here in these verses that there is nothing immoral that is at hand. There is not anything at hand that is sinful against our God. Okay, so understand that. The Lord makes it very clear that there are those that are described here as weaker or stronger, or if you will, mature and immature. He that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to tear them up. Not to doubtful disputations, not to undue undue pressure and persecution. That's not what we're to do as the Lord's children with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So there are two that are at hand here. And what's this Lord tells us? The stronger, that's what's exhibited here, is not to despise the weaker. It's not to despise the immature. We're not to do that. We are to be a help. And then the weaker is not to judge the more mature, okay? And the thing is, it's not about calling out these differences. We just know that we're all in a different, we all are at different levels of spiritual maturity, and we have areas that one is grown and mature in, another is immature in, and this thing is just that way amongst the children of God. But there's not to be this despising. There's not to be this judging. And what it is, understanding this of judgment, there's two aspects of judgment. There's what God says, and whether you and I are obedient to that or disobedient to that. There's that aspect of judgment. And we all are to make that call in our lives, and we see it from what we see and understand that the Lord's Word says, and we need to rightly divide His Word. We see, are to see that fault in ourselves and to follow what is right. And then we very well may see it in our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, there's that aspect of just, are you and I lining up with what God says? But then the other aspect of judgment is this of chastisement, of punishment, of shunning, of causing to pay the price for disobedience. We make judgments about self and about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And in our hearts, we are not to despise the other, nor are we to chastise, shun, or to set at naught, as we'll see. That's what that word despising is talking about, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We live in a day, I believe, that this is a great temptation in the Lord, amongst the Lord's people and amongst the Lord's churches. We need to keep our focus right and what we are called into. Verse 4, this is our first stop in our servitude, our service to the Lord. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? So, we're servants, aren't we? It's made very clear. It's implied and understood that you are a servant too, the you here. And then there's another servant that is being judged in this way, in this second aspect of judgment. But to his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand. The Lord's able to grow him up. What? If we consider ourselves to be mature at anything, and we have this thing of introspection, we need to have a sober outlook about ourselves. We need to not be prideful in what the Lord has brought us into, but the Lord does teach us we are to gain ground. You know, it's really a quandary, isn't it? I mean, there's some fine lines here. We can be blessed by the Lord to understand and apply things out of His Word and then become proud in that. That's no good. But we are to gain ground, are we not? We are. We are to gain ground. And we are to know if we're gaining ground or not and see where we lack. So here in this, both are servants. And we need not forget that. You know how it is in a family, and I didn't have this privilege when I was in my mother and father's family. I'm an only child. And so I didn't have any siblings to where when they had the second child, I could join them as parents. You know that that's the case, don't you? That oldest child, and maybe if there's other children on down the line, they kind of think, that oldest child kind of think they're the third parent. But they're not. They're a child. Maybe they help out the parents, but they're the child. They're the offspring of the parents. And they won't be a parent till they have children. Well, you know what? We are tempted to step up there on the master's side. We kind of think we are tempted to think that we are another master. But both are servants. Both are servants in this. And we need to remember that. Servants are to remain focused on their calling and work. And we've seen that by other passages that we've looked at. Servants are not to take the place of the master, are we? We're not the master. We're not the master. But we are servants. And we need to always know that and remember that. We need to give heed to what we're doing and stay focused on our work. It's not that we are to the exclusion of our brothers and sisters, not consider them. There's a calling in that regard, but we need to manage that well. Servants are not to despise, are they? To take and set at naught. To say that our brother and sister is nothing. To say that our brother and sister is not worth it. We're not to do that. We're not to do that in our hearts. We're not to do that in our actions. And you know, again, a fine line. Along with this, you have in the scriptures that the scripture says, our Lord says, that the wounds of a friend are faithful. But then how is it that we might find ourselves despising our brother and sister? We're to love our brother. You know what? We're to love our brethren inside and outside of the church. Now, there's a thing in our day, and I'm just telling you the way that I see it and what I am, believe that I'm seeing and picking up on, that, you know what, if somebody's saved, and we have to determine what their faith is and who they're trusting in to know whether they are in the kingdom, whether or not they are in the family of the Lord, the child of God. But somebody that is saved, that is not in the church, they are just that. They are a brother and sister in Christ, but they just don't happen to be in the church. We're in the same family. Now, again, we have to be careful. A lot of people claim salvation that are trusting in everything but Jesus. But if they say that they're trusting in Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of their soul, and that he has saved their souls, and they give a good testimony of that, they are our brethren. Now, Brother Jim didn't say that we need fellowship with them in church capacity, did he? Brother Jim didn't say that. But see, what we can be tempted of is we can say, well, I just don't want to be diligent and don't want to think about my servitude to the Lord and my responsibility to the Lord as somebody that's saved in his church here, so I'm just going to be lazy. If you're in the church, great. We have fellowship. If you're not, you're off. You're off my radar screen. You don't exist. And that's lazy. And may the Lord help us that we wouldn't be lazy. Servants are not to be lazy, are they? Servants are not to despise or set at naught their brethren. Servants, the servant's business is not to judge. And again, in this aspect, we look at the Word of God. We're to be taking that and applying it to ourselves. And you know what? If I go and I tell a lie in front of you, and you know it's a lie, then it's not that you're supposed to wipe off of your mind, well, Brother Jim, he just lied, but he didn't lie. If I lie, I'm guilty of lying. And you're to know that. Okay? You see what I'm saying? We look on at one another, and then what's our response? To alienate Brother Jim because of his lying? At the very least, you need to pray for Brother Jim for his lying. Amen? And then seek occasion to be able to talk to your brother about the lying. That the lying, as an example, might be turned and he might be helped. And he might be, that one would be taken and turned from that. But not to take him and then, okay, I'm done with you. It's over. It's over. No more contact. No more looking at you. No more shaking your hand. No more talking to you. No more fellowship with you. Nothing. Now, I understand in some things that the children of God can get wayward and wayward and wayward to where their way is so corruptive that we don't want to have that around our families. We don't want to have that around our children. We don't have that want to have that around our spouses. And it becomes difficult to deal with. But we are not to despise. And we are not to judge. And that second aspect of punishment, of vengeance, avenging or sentencing or chastisement. Servant's business is not to judge in this second respect of judgment. You know whose business that is? That's the master's business. The church at Corinth was told there in 1 Corinthians that some were sick and some were weak and some were dead because of things that were going on. And the church hadn't taken any action, but the Lord had taken some action, hadn't he? And so we need to be a support and a prayer to know what the master's business is, and you know what? To stay out of it. And to know what our business is as servants and to pursue it. Certainly, we are not to do so in matters of weakness and immaturity. When there's no sin at hand, we are not to be despisers or judge in that punitive aspect of our brethren, but to be a help unto them. Verses 5 and 6. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth and giveth God thanks. So again, some more issues in particular mentioned here relative to this church. There's nothing immoral that is here. We need to be careful about what we drag in here that we say is okay. We need to have discernment of what we might draw into this, but in the context of the scriptures and dealing with this church in particular things, there's nothing immoral at hand. There's a difference of thinking. There's a difference about conviction, and there's a difference about a past. There's a difference about freedom and salvation and liberty that has been the Lord has dealt with. But understand, this is not allowance for sin in any wise. There's nothing immoral that's here. Okay? Let us understand that. Delving into the particulars is a subject for another time. Here's another point. Verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We all affect one another, don't we? We do. Being here, fitly joined together, as a brother preached Friday night and brought out of the scriptures. I mean, here in the church, we are connected. We are not only in the same family, but we are in the same institution of the Lord's church, aren't we? And we do affect one another, and we will have effects from our experience one with another. We are not independent. We cannot go off despising or judging and it not, and I'm talking about judging from the standpoint of that penalty aspect and doing that wrong. See, because when that penalty aspect, it's just about a guarantee that when we start looking to chastise somebody, we're going to get it wrong. Okay? I'm talking about we as individuals, as the Lord's children. We have a responsibility as a church, and we need to seek the Lord's face in dealing with that from the standpoint of church discipline. But when we would get off into the master's business, we're going to guarantee do it wrong. And so we need to understand that we all affect one another. As a brother mentioned, and his former pastor, he declared the best thing you can do for your brothers and sisters in Christ is to be obedient to the Lord. Right? To be obedient to the Lord. It's so, so true. Verse number 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. Servants live unto the Master. That's the focus, isn't it? That's what we're to be looking towards. Lord, what would thou have me to do? And whether we die unto the Lord. And praise the Lord that we do. Amen. Die unto the Lord, the promises that he has to carry us into him. Because why? We're his children. We're his saints. He's given promises unto us, and he will carry us. I mean, we have the Lord to die unto, don't we? That's part of salvation. Because the sinner without Christ, if you're here and you're not saved, you don't have anyone to die unto. You are alone. And headed for hell because of your sin and your wickedness and the separation that's caused between you and God. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. We're reminded again who's the owner and who's the owned, aren't we? We're the Lord's. We're the Lord's. He owns us. And the scripture says he has bought us with a price. And that's just a reference to that of servants being owned by a master. We are his servants. We need to keep our focus right, don't we? We need to keep our focus right, indeed. It goes on to say here in verse number 9, For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived. He died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried, and from hence he rose the third day. He lived again after being dead, that he might be Lord of both the dead and living. He saves. And you know what? In that of the second, and that of the great white throne judgment and the second death, who's administering that? It is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. Every knee shall bow to him, because he's Lord of the living and he's the Lord of the dead. There is no other Lord. Oh, Satan is the prince and the power of the air right now. But you know what? He's going to be brought to the bottom of the pit. And I was talking to a brother here recently about this thing that is infiltrating the people of the Lord. We hear about it in the world, about this of yin and yang, and you know, the evil needs the good, and the good needs the evil, so they can be in balance and exist. That's a lie. That is a lie. Karma. There's no such that karma is not any the good and the evil, so it'll be offset just right. That is a lie. We need the righteousness of God. And we need to put away sin and praise the Lord for those that he has saved. Sin will be put away from us when this old body and this old mind dies. You need a balance of goodness and righteousness from the Lord, period. Don't believe that junk. But you know, many are being sucked into that. Many are preaching that. He says here, for this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. Verse 10. But why dost thou judge? Again, that penalty aspect is what's referred to here. This of punishment, of venging, sentence, and chastisement. Or why dost thou set it not? That's that reference to that despising, discounting. Saying that they are not, saying that they are less, saying that they are to be brushed aside, saying that they are off our radar screen. But why dost thou judge thy brother, whether being weak? That's the reference here. Or why dost thou set not thy brother? That's talking about the more mature earlier. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We've taken a look at that on Wednesday nights about we're going to stand. We're going to stand and give an account unto the Lord. Where we're going to stand there before him, and he's going to roll out our lives. He's going to roll out where we built well. He's going to roll out where we did not build with his building material. Whether we obey, whether you and I obey him or not. For it is written, verse number 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Yet another reminder, who's the master? Who's the Lord? Who's the servants? We need to know that and remember that in every whit and aspect of life. It goes on to say, verse number 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Amen. We do have accountability to one another in our Lord's church, don't we? And so this message is not to discount that. We have that. I feel like I need to mention that. We do have accountability, and the Lord's given us how that design is to work. But our principal and final accountability as individuals, as children and saints in the Lord's churches, is always to him, our master. That's where our accountability is. That's where it'll be wrapped up at our judgment morning. Right there as we stand before the Lord at his judgment seat and give an account unto him. So we need to do well, don't we? We need to move and operate and work in his spirit. We need to follow and look to and bring ourselves his instruction about such. And we need to, for him to show us where we lack and where I need to grow up in the things of him. It's a lifetime work, brothers and sisters. It will take us a lifetime, and we will not get to the end of it till we go to be with our Lord. Verse 13. Therefore, person. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Now you can take this along with Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 and you can spin this and roll this into something that it doesn't mean. But it's talking about that second aspect of judgment, of penalty, of chastisement, of avenging. That's what it's speaking about. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. What's the reference here? Despising, setting it not. Let us not do that. But judge this rather. You want to judge something? Judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I need to consider about what I say and what I do to constrain myself and to follow the Lord, to never place a stumbling block before our master's servants, our master's other servants. I'm one, and my brothers and sisters are servants too, and stumbling block. Now understand, does this mean that we can never deal with sin? That we can't come up beside our brother and sister and show them something that maybe they just don't know about? You have done that for me, and I'm thankful for it. I have done so for some of you, and I'm thankful that the Lord can work it that way, and we have that, and we need to have that. And it's not that we just don't say anything about what any of us do or pursue, but we're not to be punitive in it. We're not to be avengeful in it. We're not to be chastisers, not to get out the whip or to shun or to push away. He says here, the scripture says here, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, verse 14, that there is nothing unclean of itself. And that's for the subject matter of the chapter, speaking about the things of the world. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. That's this thing of personal conviction about things. But if any brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is rather righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let not your good be evil spoken of. How could that be? See, the Lord may have convicted us and understanding from the word of the Lord that a thing is something that there's something that we need to stay away from. We in sanctification and in holiness that we need to go this way rather than the other way. But if we become punitive to our brothers and sisters that have not seen that, have not grown into that, if we become chastising unto them with it, our very obedience to the Lord can become evil in our manner and in our way. That's what he says here. He says, let not then your good, the Lord says it is good, be evil spoken of because of the way that we would hold in disdain or set at naught our brothers and sisters in Christ. Righteousness, the pursuit of righteousness is part of the work and the pursuit of the kingdom of God. Peace is so. Peace with God, as we're going to see here in the end of this chapter. And joy in the Holy Spirit. We can take our obedience and punish, chastise, and shame and beat down our brothers and sisters so that our good will be spoken evil. We need to be careful. We need to obey. We need to seek conviction about things that we do and we say and we think and we pursue from the Lord. But we don't need to take it when the Lord gives it to us and beat up another. We need to come in beside and be a good example of such. Being an encourager of such. Being a good provoker, not a poor provoker. Because why? I'm a servant. I'm not the master. I'm not given the command. It's the Lord that's given the command. And we need to seek His face and that He would and supplicate one for another when we see aspect and things of our lives. We can take our obedience again and punish, chastise, shame, and beat down our brothers and sisters so that our good will be spoken evil of. Verse 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ. Oh, Brother Jim, it's so confusing and there's a lot of stuff. And right, I see about those fine lines of that. That's just a bunch of work to try to get that right. Yeah, it's going to be. You know, we naturally want it simple. We want it this way or this way, A, B, C, done, over with, kafut, it's done. It takes some work. It takes some understanding and leadership and a right spirit from the Lord. And it takes spending time with the Lord in prayer about self. And as we see in one another where we need to mature, where we need instruction, where we need help, where we need warned, admonished, exhorted in a good way about things, on how to do that right. Because we are too, we're all going to the same place. We're all going and serving the same master. And if we can be a help one to another, we need to be. But we're not the master. We're fellow servants. For he that in these things, all these things that have been mentioned, we're just taking a general look this morning, not in particular these things that were troublesome to the church of Rome. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. Is acceptable to God. You want to be acceptable to God? Brother Jim, we can't be acceptable to God. Scripture says we can be acceptable to God. We're on the child side. We're not in the separated sinner without an atonement and without a Savior. We're not there anymore. We're over here on the child side. We're over here on the family side. We're over here in being saved, and in our context, put in one of the Lord's churches. And we can be acceptable, being like our Lord Jesus, being a servant, not the master. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God, approved of men. Did you hear that? Approved of men? Well, what's that? What's that got to do with it? Approved of men. Why would he say that? This word approved is talking about, a synonym for it is to be tried. For folks to know in us that we are the Lord's. Not that we say that we're the Lord's, but we behave like we're the Lord's. That we convey the spirit of the Lord. That we have a care and concern for them indeed as they stand before the Lord. It's going to become very clear here in the end of the chapter what's going on. From a servant to his fellow servants. From a servant to those in the world that are not in the family, that are not saved. Tried. To not to find out that for the world to know that so and so really cares about my soul. They really care about my stand before God. They really have an interest in me. Not just that they just want me to line up. Have an interest and a care for me. From the context of a pastor, from the point of a pastor, that the folks that he pastors would hear from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. As the brother preached the other night, that you have a lot of gold and silver and precious stones and not a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. They really care for you. Not that it makes the pastor look good when somebody's obedient, but I care for you. And you're standing before the Lord as a fellow servant. We're to get a handle on obeying our master and being a good witness of such to our fellow servants, to our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. not with pride and self-esteem, not with conceitedness, but in humility and the fruit of the Spirit, a provoker to love and good works. Isn't that what the brother writes and the Lord gives us in Hebrews 10:24? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Not an penal kind of way where we chastise and we run down and we abuse, but we look to lift up and encourage and exhort to do what's right and follow the Lord. In conclusion, the chapter does so for us here in verses 19 through 23. In verse number 19, let us therefore, because of these things that have been said, let us, brothers and sisters, let us, children of God, let us, saints in the Lord's church here at Olmsted Baptist Church, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Not peace because of sin and turmoil and wickedness going on, and we just kind of say, well, just ignore it, it'll go away. But peace of individuals and peace of the church before God. Peace for sinners with God. It's not talking about convenience, so you and I don't have anything that we have to deal with. Let us follow after things which make for true peace with God and things wherewith one may edify another. Edify is talking about a building up. A building up. In verse number 20, for meat. I think we can plug in here. This is a particular that's dealt with for this church in this passage. But I think that we can go in here and we can place the word selfishness. For selfishness, destroy not the work of God. Not for self. Not because am I following after a thing that I believe is right before the Lord, and I believe it's not right for my brothers and sisters to not follow it, and I'm in a situation where I feel bad because they're not obeying and following with me. Yeah, you understand? I know that's kind of convoluted. But see, I'm here, I believe I'm obeying in a thing. And this, because this is what God has said. And my brothers and sisters, I've got maybe some that are not. And so therefore I am punitive towards them because they are not. Because I'm feeling sorry for myself and obeying God. That's not to be. I'm to have conviction before the Lord and enjoy following Him. And be a good witness of that. To my brothers and sisters, praying that the Lord would show them and convict them the way I believe He has me, but not to be mean or ugly towards them in it. For meat, for selfishness, destroy not the work of God. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Not stepping up to be the master when you're a servant, but understand that we're a fellow servant and we're following the master, and to encourage our fellow servants to follow the master too. When our fellow servants encourage us to follow the master, that we take it well, take it right, know that they care for us, and to never be punitive, never to be punishing in that our good would be evil spoken of. We can take obedience and we can wreck it by taking it and pistol whipping, if you will, our brothers and sisters in Christ with. Follow after those things that make for peace and be an edifier of one another. Service. What are we his servants to do? We're to keep our focus correct, aren't we? And may the Lord help us. Let us therefore remember our place as servants to the Master. Let us remember our calling as servants and to not look to take the place of the Master. Ours is to serve under the edification of all. The edification of all. This afternoon's message is going to follow right along with this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where the scripture says there, we as the children of God declare unto all, be reconciled to God. Not just the sinner that is in need of a Savior, but a brother and sister in Christ that has aspects in their lives that are lacking and wanting, that from the Word of God we can see, that we can pray for them, that we can encourage them to say, be reconciled to God in that thing. Again, as our Lord said, He didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And that's our calling. You think about the Lord Jesus in the day of His personal ministry. Wasn't He working with and on everybody at the same time? He has that power and that ability. He was working on everybody to their need all at the same time. Now you and I, we don't have that power. But to the extent that we can, we need to be a help and an edifier and a seeker of peace before the Lord and all.